serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a chance to celebrate the legacy of the inimitable Louis Zamperini, whose persevering legacy is captured in the new film Unbroken, Path to Redemption, which continues where the first blockbuster film left off. In a moment, we'll talk to Laura Hillenbrand, the best-selling author who spent 7 years of her life working on the book Unbroken about Louis's life. It's a story we never would have known if Louis did not experience a remarkable transformation that delivered him from the throes of PTSD. He told us about that metamorphosis when he shared his story on Hometown Heroes in 2011 at the age of 94.
I had a terrible nightmares. I had these nightmares in prison about the bird. I was always strangling the guy, and I had that nightmare all the way home. I never missed a night. Before I got married, I had a nightmare every night. After I got married, I still had the nightmares. And I'm always strangling the bird. And I grabbed my wife by the throat one night, and boy, I got scared. I woke up in a cold sweat. Then I started to drink heavily and became a boozer. And then she decided it was time for a divorce. But then somebody talked her into going down to hear a new young evangelist, Billy Graham. And she came home speaking of this peace and joy she had in her heart and life. And I wouldn't go with her. I got mad. But then she said something that made me happy. She said, because of my conversion, I'm not going to get a divorce. Well, that softened me up a little bit, so I did go down to hear Billy. But I walked out the first night mad. I said, I'll never go back to that place again. But the next day, after 2 hours of argument, she got me back. As I started to leave, he was, in his preaching, he said, when people come to the end of their rope, and there's nowhere else to turn, they turn to God, no matter who you are. I thought, yeah, that's what happened to me on the raft in prison camp on Kwajalein. And that made me feel like a fool. I prayed the same prayer over and over again. God, get me home alive, and I'll seek you and serve you. Here I am alive, and I didn't try to seek God. So then I went forward in the meeting and made a confession of my faith in Christ. And boy, I knew something happened. I was still on my knees, but I knew I was through getting drunk. I knew I'd forgiven all my guard, and including the bird. That was something. And I was a different person. Right there on my knees, I got up, went home, and my life has been changed ever since.
And you eventually became a missionary in Japan, the same country that had tortured you. You talked about the bird, and you forgave him. I guess you did, if you would go back there to Japan to try to share this new love in your life with them.
I went back to Japan, Sagamo Prison. That's where all the prisoners were, 850 of them, and nobody was allowed in there. But I called MacArthur's headquarters, SAC, and reminded him that he asked for 10 million Bibles and 2,000 missionaries when he took over the country, but we didn't respond. And that's all. That he let me into Sagamo Prison, so I was the first outsider allowed in there to speak, and 850 war criminals. And the colonel asked me to give them a chance to become Christian, so I did. And then he asked those who knew me to come forward. So about 8 guards came forward, and sure enough, there was James Sasaki, head interrogator in Japan proper, and he's the one that went to SC with me in 37, 38, 39. So I said, well, where's the bird? And he said, well, we believe he committed harakiri. So I assumed he was dead all these years, and then when CBS did my show out of Nagano during the Olympics, Donna Mihailovich was in Tokyo, and he called me and he said, are you sitting down? Yeah. You got a hold of your chair? I said, I got a hold of my chair. What's up? He says, we found the bird. He's alive. Oh, I couldn't believe it. So anyway, they took a picture of a movie of him, and it was on 60 Minutes, and it's still being shown across the nation. The Olympic Committee sends him out to schools. Everybody can see the entire story in about 35 minutes. They called it the Great Zamperini, which I didn't like, but he said, well, you know, there was the Great Mussolini, the Great Zucchini, and the Great Houdini. So I thought, well, in that case, I'll leave it.
You prefer Lucky Louie, huh?
Yeah, Lucky Louie's fine. A great day. I don't think anybody's great.
And perhaps that's part of what made Louie so great. Louis Zamperini's story will reach even more people with the release of Unbroken, Path to Redemption on September 14th. And Laura Hillenbrand, whose book Unbroken has sold millions and millions and millions of copies, is excited about the new film. She first became familiar with Louis' story 20 years ago when she saw that 60 Minutes piece from the Olympics in Nagano that you just heard Louis reference. She had no idea how enormous a worldwide phenomenon his story would become, but she did know she needed to capture his story in print.
I had to write a book about him. We had our first conversation. He told me his whole story. We talked for quite a long time, and I was just astonished by it and so compelled by all the questions that raised in my mind about how a person can forgive the unforgivable and recover from suffering as deep as he went through. I had no thoughts about what the audience might be for this, but I did think people would be interested in it. No, I didn't. I don't think anybody expects the reach the story has had, but then again, why shouldn't I have expected it? He has maybe the most extraordinary life I've ever heard of.
It really is, and what's amazing is he'd been telling his story to small groups, large groups for a long time, but yet most of the world didn't know about it until you put it in print.
A lot of history goes to the grave with people. A lot of history just goes untold, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to talk to these people who have lived superlative lives as Louis did and to be able to write it down, to try to research and learn more about their own lives than they knew themselves, you know, about things that were happening because of them or around their story, and to try to tell the whole thing in context. It's a great privilege and it's a great pleasure.
Well, and you did a phenomenal job with the book, and I'm sure you hear that all the time, but I know what it meant to Louis to have his story accurately depicted in print. And then you have film, and the first one came out, rightfully so. It got through World War II and then stopped. Had she done everything, people would have been an all-day affair at the theater. To see that continued and to see the rest of his story told, how important is that people get this second film and the content within it?
I'm so happy with this second film, and I was happy with the first one. I think there were people who didn't understand how difficult it would be to tell Louis' entire life story in the span of 2 hours. You just can't do it. It's too big a story. It's too long a life. But I'm very happy that this is going to become a companion to it, Path to Redemption, because it gets very deeply into the post-traumatic stress disorder Louis had and what happens to people in the aftermath of war. And it tells it very truthfully. This is a very, very accurate movie, beautifully acted. And I'm absolutely positive Louis would be thrilled with it. He wanted people to understand this kind of thing. He wanted our hearts to be open to the pain that veterans go through, as well as the possibility of coming all the way back from that, of recovering from that and having a joyful life, which is what he did. So I'm just thrilled with it. I think the movie is such a beautiful film. It left me in tears at the end.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of our audience will experience something similar. And isn't it interesting that Louis passed away right before this film hit theaters? And then Billy Graham passes away right before his grandson portrays him in the second film.
That's true. I didn't think about the second part of that, yes.
And it just hit me just as we're talking here. And I'm sure you've been asked this a lot, and it's hard to come up with one thing. But when people ask you about Louis, about your interactions with him or your experience in capturing his story, if there's one single greatest significant aspect of who he was and what the rest of us can learn from his experience and the way he handled it, what do you think that would be?
I think what Louis and the life he lives has taught us is that our potential to be resilient, to endure, and to overcome is far greater than we give ourselves credit for. We are not going to be going through the same experiences he went through. But most of us are going to face things in our lives that are bigger than we are, or so we think. And what Louis has to say about that is, it's not bigger than you. Nothing's bigger than you. You can overcome this. You can apply your resilience. You have it in you. And I hear it all the time, and he did too, that, you know, if you got through what you got through, I can get through this cancer. I can get through this loss, or I can get through this thing I fear. And I think that's what he wanted people to know. It was very, very important to him to use his suffering for good. And that's what he did. He taught us this lesson. I carry it with me every day of my life.
Well, and that was my follow-up, and I don't want to cross any lines or get too personal if you don't want to, but it, as you say that, I'm thinking, boy, it sure sounds like Laura has applied this in her own life, that there's things that you've had to take that, you know, fighting spirit that Louis exemplified and apply it to your own circumstances.
Well, one of the things Louis knew that a lot of people didn't know about me is that I've had a pretty terrible chronic illness for 30 years, something called myalgic encephalomyelitis, and it was a devastating illness that for a number of years left me completely bedridden. And for much of the time that I worked on the book, I actually was bedridden. And Louis knew this, and because he knew it, he felt that I could understand something about suffering and about confinement and being separated from your body's capacity to do what it does naturally, you know, to be an athlete or to just be out in the world. He knew I got that, even though I hadn't been through the same kind of experience he had been through. And it enabled him, he said, to really open up to me in a way that he hadn't with anybody else, to really, really tell me the story, because veterans very often fear opening up about what they went through because they're afraid people will not understand and it will be trivialized to them. It will look like it did in bad old war movies that don't really capture what these things are. And it was an interesting place where Louis and I met, this place of suffering and deprivation. And I was able to take his strength sometimes when I was feeling really badly. I could talk to him and I could be renewed. I could keep going. When it was very, very hard. There was a span while I was writing this book that for 2 years I was unable to leave my house because I was simply too weak to walk to my car. And Louis helped carry me through that time just with his buoyance, his effervescence, his belief in me. And that was a beautiful thing. He actually, after he learned about my illness, which I did not tell him about for quite a while, he read an article on me, and that's how he learned it. He mailed me his Purple Heart, which I was just blown away that he did that. And I said, I cannot accept this. And he said, you deserve this more than I do. And he insisted that I keep it. I still don't think I deserve it. I mean, he deserved it. But this was this thing that we shared, this connection we shared, and it enabled us to be very close and work well together for 7 years.
Wow. Talk about gifts that stick with you, things you can see and things that you can't see, and that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I guess I have to ask you, you know, that you've told this story, and it's turned into not just one but two films, and of course Seabiscuit was an incredible success. Is there another story you're working on that's going to inspire us and help us face the things that we're dealing with day to day?
I've been looking for a long time for something that has all the things that I need to fall in love with it. And you have to fall in love with your story to do a really good job with it. You know, you have to be obsessed so that you can follow every tangent and interview every person and look through every archive. And it's exhausting and it's, you know, it takes forever. You have to love it. And I have found something that I am leaning toward doing it. I think when I find out more, I'll know for sure, but I think I probably will do it. It is a very inspiring story, and it's I'm hoping that it will work out for me. It's something that's actually been in my head quite a while. And I won't settle on something that isn't going to do that for me, because it's just too big a project and too much of your life if you're not in love with it. But I think I may have found it.
Well, boy, that gives us something to look forward to. And I guess... I guess I should ask you in closing, with regard to this specific film, Unbroken Path to Redemption, you've seen it. You said at the end you were in tears. So people who are thinking about going to check it out as it opens September 14th and they have the red carpet premiere in Fresno, California on September 15th, what's the number one reason you think people should go check it out?
I think this movie can breathe life into you. It is immensely inspiring. It's very, very beautiful. Because it shows you all that a human being can be, all that we can overcome. The horizon of our potential is limitless. And that was the truth that Louis lived. And so I highly recommend people see it. I think it's absolutely beautiful and so well directed, so well acted, so well written. It just I don't have criticisms of it. I think it's absolutely lovely.
Wonderful, wonderful. Laura, thank you so much for your time and for your contributions to the world with these outstanding writings, and we will look forward to that next inspiring story you've got your fingers on.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be on with you.
That's Laura Hillenbrand, author of Unbroken, and one of many who's been truly inspired by Louis Zamperini's story of perseverance and hope. Unbroken, Path to Redemption opens Friday, September 14th at theaters all over the country. And if you can make it to the middle of California on September 15th, I have the information online for you about that red carpet event with Louis' son Luke, as well as actors and the producers from the film. You can find all of that at hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. Louis Zamperini competed for our country in the Olympics. He fought for our country in World War II. And his victory in his personal fight against PTSD and those invisible scars of war is one that will continue to inspire for decades to come. We're out of time for today, but thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you'll join us again next time when we're reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.